Oh, it's 7 o'clock on a Saturday evening, and you were expecting Stacy McCain's voice, but he's not here right now. Hi, I'm the other guy on the other podcast, John Hoag, and I'm in Studio B at Stately Hoag Manor in Westminster, and I see Stacy trying to connect. It's bouncing up and down, saying that he's connecting, and I see that Diana is connected as well. How you doing, Diana?
I'm doing great. How do I sound?
You sound wonderful. You must have
Fantastic.
A new microphone. You must have a new microphone or something.
That's all on you, John.
Well, we decided that we didn't like the sound of the cat clawing the phone in your lap.
Or touching his nose to it, or rubbing against it, claiming it as his. You never know with him.
Okay, well, allegedly, Stacy is connected now. Is that you, Stacy?
Can you hear me now?
Someone who sounds remarkably like you, a little bit off mic and echoey, but yeah.
Okay, where is the microphone on this thing? Okay, now can you hear me? Yeah, you might want to modulate me. I don't know how that works.
Well,
is
you know,
my signal good now?
Yeah, you are very, very loud and clear. And we're having more fun than we should be allowed to, but then that's just the way life is these days. Stacy, do you want to talk about football? I hear Alabama did reasonably well.
Well, okay. Hang on just a second. Since I am only now, I mean, it was a last minute thing jamming it on here. I am, remote from, Crawford County, Ohio. And so it's not the usual setup, but yes, hang on a second. I'm waiting for the scoreboard to load here on the mighty machine.
Oh, it was a good game, I can promise you.
Or yeah,
maybe still
well,
be going. It was in the fourth quarter last time I looked.
Yes, the final is Alabama 48, Tennessee 17. Meanwhile, number one ranked Clemson 47-21 over Syracuse. Penn State is leading Indiana 28-20 in the fourth quarter. Also in the fourth quarter, Oklahoma State is beating Iowa State. Let's see what else we have here. Notre Dame rolls 45-3 over Pittsburgh. Ohio State beats Nebraska 52-17. Notre Dame 40. Wait, oh, I've already done that one. Hang on a second. North Carolina 48, North Carolina State 21. Let's see, what else do we have? What other scores do we have around the nation?
Well, the big score was the fact that Alabama beat Tennessee, so it was a good game. Vanderbilt has the week off.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
Well, Vanderbilt has the week off. Vanderbilt has the week off, so UT losing is the only important score.
Okay.
All right. So now that we've done all that stuff, we probably need to pretend that we're doing our normal show. And to start off, I'm going to paraphrase Winston Churchill, reading from a blog post I did. I guess this was late. Well, it's dated yesterday, but it was actually done late Thursday. From Twitter on our iPhones to Facebook on our laptops, a silicon curtain has descended across the face of the internet. Behind it lie all the media outlets and individuals engaged in fair reporting. The New York Post and all its readers are but one example of those who suffer from what I must call progressive censorship. And all of us are subject to one form or another of progressive influence over what we may hear and say, increasingly under the control of Silicon Valley. For those of you who may not be quite old enough to remember, there was a famous speech made at Westminster College by Winston Churchill, where he referred to an iron curtain descending across the face of Europe. But we have something very analogous happening now. I think we have a group of people who are now running scared.
If they weren't scared, they wouldn't be silencing alternate views, shall we say.
Well, right.
It's not just alternate views that they're silencing. There is an entire vast universe of facts to which mm-hmm. one may not refer without fear of banishment from Facebook.
Correct.
There was another post I did earlier in the week referring to a much better post by Victor Davis Hanson. Every time I get ready to write something, he has done something the day before that's much better than I could come up with. But for decades, the left has conducted what, you know, has been called their march through the institutions. And they wish to stay in control. But in 2016, the deplorables cheated. They used the Electoral College to install Donald Trump as president, and Trump in turn has worked to disrupt the left's control. And obviously that's an intolerable situation. So the left's pulling out all the stops, and it's the really by any means necessary actions that they're using to defeat Trump. And their naked use of power to conceal one form of corruption winds up revealing another, and they don't care. Mm-hmm. Because winning has become the only thing to them.
The problem being that they're defeating themselves. They haven't seen it yet. The Streisand effect, we've discussed the Streisand effect innumerable times on you guys on your blogs, the three of us have. And honestly, that's what they did to themselves. On the 14th, they started doing it. More people have read the Hunter Biden story, the stories about Hunter Biden's laptop from hell, and now Mr. Bobulinski, than ever would have done so if they just published it, if they just let it be published.
Well, yeah. Hanson wrote in his piece over at National Review, and I'm quoting now, "The Progressive Project is now hubristic. Drunk with power and belief that it control an America that it does not like and that it in turn holds it in contempt. But with hubris comes nemesis, as we saw on all fronts last week. Joe Biden, the DNC, the media, Silicon Valley, the identity politics industry, and the FBI were all shown to be not so much partisan and corrupt as far more important, inept and ridiculous. The corrupt can tolerate charges that they are dishonest because such an accusation implies, they assume, a tacit compliment that they are cunning and adroit in obtaining such power in the first place to use for such unethical purposes." Well, yeah, that's maybe true. But, you know, Alinsky's rules for radicals say that we're supposed to hold them to their own rules. And it also says that ridicule is the most impotent way to go after them. And Hanson also ends with, "But when they become so brazen that they're exposed as silly and absurd, they begin to fear. The left doesn't mind being portrayed as Machiavellian or perhaps a little Rasputin-like, but they can't tolerate being revealed as the buffoons they so often are." So, you know, for those of us who don't support Mr. Biden, we really need to keep, well, we all need to follow the advice of a 19th century Democrat and keep up the skier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a 19th century Democrat. Yes.
The founder of the Klan.
I know exactly who you refer to, that vaunted cavalryman, the Wizard of the Saddle, General Nathan B. Forrest.
Yes, and a New Orleans real estate developer. But, you know, but this whole thing is like the, you know, speaking of a military analogy, we've got this whole thing is like a bribe too far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hunter Biden's hard drive is the real McCoy, and it was his hubris from being able to pull off all he has so far, all those bribes, right, that led him to be as, well, I guess I'll just say incompetently careless as he was. You know, the Democrats impeached Trump for asking the president of the Ukraine to pursue an investigation related to bribery that's been now verified by the hard drive. So let that sink in for a moment. But, you know, they thought they had an airtight level of protection over there at the Biden family, and it leaks.
But they left it in the hands of a junkie. Never trust a junkie. Junkies will steal anything that is not red hot or nailed down. The smart ones come equipped with crowbars and oven gloves. But in the end, they're careless and they leave things around and they forget things because they're junkies. They're focused on the fix. And you can't trust a junkie.
Well, you can in some ways and you can't. I've been involved through church work with a lot of people that are in 12-step recovery programs, and I have been told by several of them the same story. Do you know the difference between an alcoholic and an addict? And the answer is both of them will steal your wallet, but the addict will help you look for it.
Truth.
So anyway, speaking of the laptop, you know, Biden did not enjoy being asked a question about it, did he, Stacey?
No, he didn't. The debate this week. Okay, now hang on a second here. Yes, in this week's this week, Joe Biden. Walked away when asked about the FBI seizing his son's laptop. I quote from Breitbart, Joe Biden is still refusing to discuss an expose by the New York Post alleging the former vice president's youngest son, Hunter, leveraged his ties to the Obama administration for the benefit of Ukrainian national gas conglomerate. The Democratic nominee, who has long struggled to explain his son's overseas business deals, was asked about the story during a campaign swing through North Carolina on Sunday. Biden was asked by a reporter if he had any comment about revelations that the FBI had seized Hunter's laptop last year via subpoena. A video of this encounter shows that the nominee refused to even listen to the reporter's question, opting to walk away as soon as the reporter mentions the word FBI. And so the question is, can we believe the polls, right? Okay, it was announced a week ago that Biden would be in seclusion for 5 days leading up to his debate this week. And we're supposed to believe that he's leading in every poll. I'm going to quote my American Spectator column from this week. If you believe the media, Joe Biden is heading toward a landslide of such historic proportions that even Texas may tip into the Democrats' column. Of course, no intelligent person actually believes this, but the propaganda organs of our national media are so devoted to Team Joe that the possibility of turning Texas blue continues to be the subject of allegedly serious reporting. A well-informed source in Texas tells me GOP internal polls show a tighter than usual contest there, and Democrats are bombarding young Texans with get out the vote messages. But this is a state Trump won with a comfortable margin of more than 800,000 votes in 2016. Nevertheless, the media are dreaming the impossible dream. The Washington Post's Dan Baltz, for example, expended some 1,500 words exploring the scenario of a Biden in upset driven by a huge Democratic surge in a state that no Democrat has won since 1976. So, So we are supposed to believe not only that Biden is winning, but that he's going to win in a landslide.
My fearless forecast is 202 for Biden and 336 for Trump.
Well, I don't get into the prognostication business because I suck at it.
Oh, so do I, but I'm throwing mine out anyway.
There's no point. I'm always wrong, so I'm not saying anything.
Well, I had a little back and forth with our friend Mike Lachetz of Legal Insurrection, and he had a forecast out having Trump getting 334. Electoral college votes. And I pointed out that even if you subtract from the column that he had going from Trump, you can subtract Michigan, Wisconsin, Nevada, and New Mexico from that total, and Trump would still be at 299. In other words, almost 30 points more than needed, 30 electoral college votes needed to win. And he would still be at 288 without Arizona. So the three key states, in my estimation, are Florida, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania. Now, personally, I feel like North Carolina is safe. Okay, I don't believe any poll that tells me that Biden is going to win North Carolina. They're doing that based on projections that he's going to get an Obama-like level of support from black voters, and I just don't believe that. So I'm scratching North Carolina from the possibility. Florida's going to be close. We can expect it to be close. And the big thing to remember is that we cannot expect final results from Pennsylvania on election night, because of this stupid decision from the Supreme Court extending the deadline for absentee ballots.
Fraud. Truckloads of ballots will arrive.
Yes.
Signatures and no postmarks.
See, that's the reason why I'm advising people not to vote by mail or vote early. If at all possible, but go out on election day and vote, because it delays people knowing what the margin of fraud is.
Right. And the other thing, holding Arizona, if we can hold Arizona, Florida, if we hold Arizona, Florida, and North Carolina. Ohio, I'm in Ohio right now. I'm telling you, Ohio is going to be solid for Trump. I feel real confident in Ohio. So that could be it. I have seen one poll, one recent poll out of Wisconsin that shows Trump tied there. Now, I don't know if I believe this poll or not, because the other polls show Biden leading in Wisconsin. But if we can add Wisconsin to the total, then that's going to, he can't win North Carolina and Trump wins Wisconsin, it's going to be very hard for Joe, even if Joe can win Pennsylvania, it's going to be very hard for Joe to have a path to 270 if he can't get Wisconsin.
Well, there are two states that I think are much safer for Trump than a lot of people understand. One is Minnesota. The people, even some people in the Twin Cities area, but have been flipped by the rioting. But the people in the up in the Iron Range and in the rural parts of the state are just they are turning their backs on their Democrat heritage. Mm-hmm. The other state that I think is now safe, and I'm not invoking Godwin's law like Biden did.
Good Lord.
But I think Mark Kelly has just delivered the state to Trump.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think when you're marching around, when photos come out with you with a swastika on your arm.
Oh, man.
That looks bad. Okay?
Well, I mean, it's one thing if he had been an actor and that was a still from a movie where he played a role or something like that. But he was a naval aviator?
What?
Yeah.
What was he thinking?
Well, apparently he was a student at the Merchant Marine Academy when he did that, which, you know.
It doesn't make any sense at all. Well, look, I'm looking at the polls. By the way, you were talking about Minnesota. Now, I had felt that Minnesota was reachable, okay, that Trump had a chance in there. Right now, the Real Clear Politics average shows Biden with a 6-point lead, and none of the recent polls show him with less than a 5-point lead. So you know, now there's also the issue of the shy Trump voter and the modeling question of what the electorate is going to look at in terms of turnout. So, we don't know.
The problem with polling is it's technological change. In 1936, the polls said solidly that Roosevelt was not going to be reelected. Huh? Mm. Well, the thing is, the polls were conducted by telephone, and if you could afford to have a telephone in 1936,
right? Yeah,
you were not an FDR voter, or less likely to be. And the same thing's happening now in a different way. I probably get 10 phone calls a day on my cell phone, and in another dozen or so calls on my landline phone from numbers that I don't recognize. And when I run them back, they're related either to campaign organizations or to pollsters. So, you know, there's a whole lot of us now that we have caller ID and we get the non-ID'd calls that we just let go to voice jail, mm-hmm. and they don't leave a message. So they don't get called back. So, yeah. You know, I think there is that spinning the polls.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's hard to tell. By the way, Arizona, I'm saying that any poll that Joe Biden doesn't lead by 3 points is a Trump state. OK. And the Real Clear Politics margin is 2.4 polls, and there has been at least one recent poll that shows Trump leading in Arizona. So I think, you know, I mean, the Trump voters are going to crawl through glass to vote for Trump. I just don't see a lot of excitement on the Biden side. So we will see.
Well, where you're seeing interesting turnout already in the early voting is in Miami-Dade, and Obama carried that last time he ran, and Hillary carried Miami-Dade the last in 2016. Mm-hmm. Trump, if Trump can pull in Miami-Dade and keep the rest of the state, I mean, it's all over. And it looks like even Palm Beach is going like 50-50. So, you know, Florida is terminally weird, but it's,
yeah.
You know, well, you know, it's full of Florida, man. Anyway, Speaking of weirdness, perhaps you will remember someone we ran into in the past, Stacy, by the name of Brett Kimberlin.
Yes.
Brett has been running a website, this and a Twitter account called itstime2020.org or itstime_2020 as the Twitter account. And it got real quiet for the last 3 or 4 weeks. But back in the middle of
September, they have all of 5 followers, man, on their Twitter account. I mean,
yes,
I can scarcely contain the excitement.
But back on that September 15th, there was a tweet. And it was the last tweet they had. It was September 15th. It was really enthusiastic. Now, they've retweeted some other tweets since then, but the last tweet they actually sent out says, as we suggested months ago, a legal war room, and it's about Biden creating a legal war room preparing for the big fight over vote counting. And my comment on that was, well, now it looks as if Biden may need a criminal defense team as well, which is something that Kimberlin would understand from past experience.
He's too cheap to hire any. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, well, no, Kimberlin spent big bucks on his criminal defense trials, so that he hasn't skated on. But anyway, that leads us up to the debate. Stacy ran a live thread during the debate. I tried watching it out of the corner of my eye, and it was just so sorry that I actually pulled something else across in front of the browser so I didn't have to look at Biden. And I went and was working on other things while I listened. I mean, it was, I don't want to say it was brutal, but it was almost elder abuse.
Yeah. It was, the thing is, and I noticed this, is that practically the first 20 minutes of the debate was all about COVID. It was COVID, COVID, COVID. And that's just that's T-ball for Biden, okay? That's just giving him, because the more we talk about COVID, the more it plays into his campaign message, which is blame Trump. And so that was the real turning point of the debate was when when Biden for some reason brought up Rudy Giuliani, and that led right into Trump's wheelhouse to come at him on Hunter Biden's
laptop
from hell. Yes. From hell. Anyways, but and the other thing was there's a completely unforced error with Joe Biden promising to eliminate the oil industry.
Yeah. Right.
Well, the best comment I saw in terms of focusing that on the real world is, where are we going to get electric F-35s?
Yep.
Right. Yeah. The people are just not thinking, okay, how are we going to get enough electricity, okay, to fuel all these electric cars? California right now is having rolling blackouts. They can't produce enough electricity even for their basic
or buy it.
Yes. Yeah. And they're short generating power in California.
They're getting ready to shut down their last nuke plant.
Right. And where are we supposed to get this electricity while at the same time you're shutting down the petroleum industry, you're shutting down coal-fueled electric plants.
And all that natural gas from fracking.
Right. So, where is this You know, he keeps talking about the millions of green jobs. And yeah, go ask the people at Solyndra about those jobs, you know. See, and people don't even know about Solyndra. But I mean, we're of a certain age. You know, is it you talk to anybody under 40 and try to get them to remember, oh, Solyndra, and they're like, what? I mean, you go on college campuses and they know nothing of what happened during Obama's first term, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, they were in, you know, elementary school 10 years ago. And so you know, you've got this mass of kids that not only don't know anything about economics, right, but they don't know anything about recent history. It trying to get them to understand what happened even 10 years ago is a challenge.
Yeah, well, it is, and it was, but it was interesting the way the debate did run this time. I mean, the moderator clearly was throwing softballs at Biden and was clearly interrupting Trump more, but was at least she did deserve the compliment that the president gave her at the end about doing a better job than the last time.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris Wallace was just awful.
A disgrace.
Yeah. Well, so then there's the question of who won, and there's two questions there. Who won the debate as in the immediate thereafter. There's another question about who's winning the fact-checking afterwards, and clearly Biden is losing the fact-check. But it was interesting. I went on the on DuckDuckGo looking for polls immediately after the debate went out, and there weren't very many. I did find one at a website, abc7.com. Now, abc7.com is the website of KABC, the ABC-owned and operated affiliate in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And when I checked it, you know, 15 minutes after the debate was over, it was like 56% Biden had won. And so I typed up my thing and got ready to post something, and I then went to do a screen cap of the thing, and it had flipped. It was 55% Trump had won, and 5% of the people were saying, and I'm going to change my vote based on this. And then when I was about to publish again, I checked, and it had inched up, and it was 56-44 in favor of Trump. So that's interesting. That's a poll from a Southern California television station. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, ABC owned a station at that. And so, you know, Southern California. Now, admittedly, KABC's coverage area includes Orange County, Virginia, and Ventura County and Riverside counties, which are particularly Orange County, somewhat more Republican. Actually,
not
Ventura
anymore. Not anymore.
Well, somewhat more. And, you know, Ventura County, somewhat more. I mean, when I moved to Ventura County, when we went out there initially, Barry Goldwater Jr. was my congressman. okay. When I lived in Orange County, my congressman was B1 Bob Dornan. So, you know, and I saw the changes coming, which is one of the reasons why Connie and I left. We both saw what California was going to do. But, you know, as you put it, Stacey, Trump won the debate, but.
Ah, yes. Yes. The question is, we have to ask ourselves, okay, what does it mean in terms of the overall election? The thing is that
No honest person could argue that Biden won the debate. The question, therefore, becomes how much of a difference will Trump's debate victory make in the election? And consider this. More than 50 million people have already cast their ballots in early voting. That represents about 40% of the entire vote in 2016. Okay. In 2016, 129 million votes. Okay. So 50 million is about 40% of that number. So in other words, a substantial number of votes cannot be affected. Success in Thursday's debate will blunt the landslide Joe message from the media. Texas, obviously, is now safe for Trump, and Pennsylvania is still within might carry Wisconsin and Michigan. If Trump can win Pennsylvania, I think I will go ahead and say it, is that if Trump wins Pennsylvania, that's the whole game right there, because Ohio, as I said, Ohio is solid. And if there's no situation where Trump wins Pennsylvania but loses Ohio. Okay, do you see that? And if he can win Pennsylvania, surely he will win Florida. And so North Carolina and Georgia and stuff like that. On election night, we're going to be watching some of these key states that, you know, early in the evening as indicators of how it's going. But, you know, as I've said before, a week from now, what I expect is that the major polls
Stacy,
we're losing you.
Stacy, we're having trouble with your audio.
Hello.
Stacy, we're having trouble with your.
Hello. Hello.
We're having trouble with your audio, Stacy.
Hello. Hello.
Hear you now. Crosstalk?
Stacy? We're having trouble with your audio. It's like you're running out of bandwidth. If you're someplace where someone else is using the Wi-Fi or something, you need to see if you can get more bandwidth. He's dropped out for a second there.
Crosstalk.
Yep. Well, now it is a interesting crosstalk problem.
Yeah, wow. It is. Hey,
okay, are you
here? Yeah, you're back, Stacy.
Yes, we are.
Okay, should I?
Uh-oh. Hey, at least this time it's not me.
Yep.
Sorry. Okay. I wanted to make a comment.
Go for it.
Okay. You may or may not know, and I can't think why you would know, but I follow a writer, Larry Correa, and he had a great, great headline this week. George Orwell would have thought this week's plot is too far-fetched.
Is it Colin?
Hello?
Hi.
I think we've got some...
Stacy, you're still here.
Nope. They're disconnected now.
Oh.
Okay. Well, trying to connect again, so let's see what's going to happen.
Okay, hang on. I'll read this. I'll read one paragraph, a short one from this.
Okay.
Commenting on the fact that the left went and changed sexual orientation out of the Merriam-Webster library or dictionary, mm-hmm. Larry writes, "You'd think that the left changing the dictionary definition to make a commonly used term into oppressive hate speech within 24 hours of the narrative deciding it must be would be the most Orwellian thing you'd see that day, but nope." Not even close.
Yep.
That's one of the reasons I love Larry. Anyway, yep. While waiting for Stacy to get back.
Stacy appears to be back now.
Oh, good.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. But you're having the odd distortion problem.
I'm having the odd distortion.
Yep,
problem.
It's some sort of problem with your connection. Your voice has got all sorts of weird wrinkle dingles on it.
Weird.
Yep, it is.
If you're coming
in over a phone, you need to try Wi-Fi. And if you're trying Wi-Fi, you need to try coming in over the phone. It sounds like you've got a bandwidth issue. Well, now you're back.
Sounds like I've got a bandwidth issue. Is there something else running on this?
Now you're back.
Okay,
better.
Now I'm sounding good. Okay, good. Okay, all right. Anyways, okay, what I was saying is, before I was so rudely interrupted by technical problems.
It's starting back, Stacy. It's something. It may be something besides the phone. Is somebody else on the Wi-Fi, the same Wi-Fi with you, hogging the bandwidth?
It sounds like a woman's voice.
I don't know. I have no idea what
the
problem is. I can't.
Tell. Oh, me! The wonders of technology. As I used to tell my students at the U.S. Army Signal School, we communicate in spite of the equipment.
Shouldn't we be talking about yellow buttons and tip jars and all that good stuff? Sure.
Well, we could, as a matter of fact. And I will talk about the fact that there is, in fact, indeed a tip jar lurking about the sidebar at hogwash.com. If you go there, you can click on it. You'll be taken off through the magic of the interwebs to PayPal, where you can contribute a donation that will help support the blog, or you can go down further in the sidebar and click on the link to the Hogwash store, spending your hard-earned cash on things branded associated with Hogwash, and I'll be very thankful for your support. Meanwhile, over at theothermccain.com, we have a yellow button, and I'm going to give Stacy a chance to talk about it. Well, no, Stacy has dropped off again, so I will tell you about the yellow button at theothermccain.com. It says donate, and it says donate without a question mark. It's an imperative. And so when you click on that, you will be able to go to Stacy's PayPal account and support his blogging that way. So regardless of whether you use the yellow button or the tip jar, you can engage in an activity described by the five most important words in the English language. Diana, help us.
The five most important words in the English language are hit the freaking tip jar. And
indeed.
Do it frequently, dears.
Yes, please. So anyway, Stacy was next going to talk to us about a piece he put up this afternoon about Mr. Tapper.
May I read it?
Actually, he wanted to start off with some audio from Mr. Tapper himself. And so I was going to turn up this knob here that lets the audio come through. And I was going to hit the button.
The president, even though he leaned into it a little bit, but he didn't really go full bore, which I think was wise, or at least not stupid. He is running the single most negative, sleazy campaign in American history for a major party candidate. Now, it used to be that people would be negative.
That says something.
Well, it used to be people would be negative, and you could always say, well, don't forget the campaign against Dukakis, or historians like Beschloss or whatever would come on and say, you know, in 1800, Jefferson had pamphleteers who accused John Adams of being a hermaphrodite or whatever. The campaign that Trump and his allies in the media and his members of his family and the Trump allied websites and such are leveling with charges so heinous, I'm not even going to say them. Just nonsense, crap. Tied into QAnon, tied into Pizzagate, tied into the worst things you could say about a person with no evidence, just completely made up. is so disgusting and so beneath what this election should be. And I just want viewers at home to be ready, because all of their grandparents' Facebook feeds and all of the Twitter sphere, and it's going to be so heinous over the next 11 days. And people should just be prepared for it.
So anyway, that was the piece of audio that Stacey wanted to bring us.
Rachel Jackson obviously is unavailable for comment.
Yeah, obviously. Oh, me. But, you know, it's like he titled the piece still Jake Tapper, still not over Macho Grande, which you have to be of a certain age or at least have watched the movie Airplane to understand. But
evidently, shall I read it?
Go ahead.
All right. Has it really been 40 years since Airplane? Perhaps younger readers don't get the over Macho Grande reference, but it came to mind as I watched Jake Tapper have a hissy fit after Thursday's debate, declaring that President Trump is running the single most negative, sleazy campaign in American history for a major party candidate. Yeah, right. What evidently sent Tapper off was that Trump brought up Hunter Biden's laptop from hell. Can I skip the quote since we already heard it?
Yes, you can.
All right, lovely. Who thinks this way? And why do they think this way? Trump derangement syndrome, for Tapper and others in the media, echo chamber, sorry, November 8th, 2016 is a date that will live in infamy. That scene in the Javits Center, the agonized disbelief that the American people had rejected Hillary Clinton, they're still not over it. They'll never be over it, just like Ted Stryker will never, ever be over Macho Grande.
Yeah. Oh, it's so terrible.
Oh, it's tragic.
Okay.
And the sweat pours off them at the very thought.
All right. Well,
and they have a drinking problem.
Yes. Well, I think I've just reconnected Stacy. Are you there, Stacy?
Yes. I would like to thank Diana for the dramatic reading of my post.
Yes.
You're
okay.
Very welcome.
And you can back up. Good. You can back up the mic just slightly, but yeah, you're
loud and clear now. Does it sound okay? Good? Okay. Well,
you're a little too loud. Back off
I'm
a little.
Sorry.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes. A little too loud.
Okay. But okay.
You're too loud. And you're clipping.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't know why that would be.
All right.
Okay. Well, anyway. Say what?
Go ahead. So we're
anyways, but yes, Ted Stryker, who has a drinking problem as a result of, if you remember Ted Stryker's drinking problem, and you know, and the fact the thing is that I've said this for weeks is that everything that we have seen since Trump was elected is a result of the traumatic impact of Hillary's defeat. It just had such an emotional shattering effect on the elite that, you know, because they thought they had that thing wired. Okay. None of them saw it coming.
Well, we cheated. But use the Electoral College, you know, playing by the rules is cheating.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and the other thing is that, you know, the defection of so many Obama voters, you know, the swing voters who went from voting for Obama in 2012 to voting for Trump in 2016, that just shocked them. They could not believe that anyone who would vote for Obama would then turn around and vote for Trump. But they couldn't figure out, what they couldn't figure out is that these people did not want to vote for Hillary. They never trusted Hillary, and there's no reason they should trust Biden.
Right. And it, you know, this is, we're having election after election where you don't have anyone to vote for, only someone to vote against. And I understand why some people don't like Trump, but are holding their nose and voting for them because they're absolutely repulsed by Biden.
Well, a quick thing there. I personally despise Trump. I think that he is, it doesn't matter. I would not have him as a guest under my roof. But I will crawl over heated broken glass with only cotton between me and it in order to vote for Trump because his policies are working. I may not like the man. I may find him vainglorious and boastful and not well tethered to his hyperbole and his exaggeration.
Bombast. Bombast.
Yes,
is bombast. What is the word
excellent
you're looking
word
for?
Yes, that is the word I'm looking for.
He is a bombastic
like
figure.
Yeah. And I don't like it. But you know what? I like the results. Sue me.
Yeah.
No.
Well, you know, as a matter of policy, okay, you know, is that I have always been in favor of free trade. On the other hand, what we have seen in terms of the fact that, you know, the hollowing out of our manufacturing base, that has national security consequences. We can't just ignore that. And what he has shown is his willingness to use trade policy, you know, to get more advantageous terms. Okay, I wouldn't call it a trade war, but he is knows how to use the carrot and the stick.
You know, and he knows who to beat and who to wave the carrot in front of. But, you know, that's the difference between somebody like Trump and our betters. Our betters are the people who are now so bent out of shape because of Trump, and they're losing it. And you can see it in the Biden laptop thing. You can see it in the Twitter and Facebook censorship. And unfortunately, you can see it on Zoom.
Oh.
Oh, no. Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, yes. It couldn't have happened to a nicer fellow, could it?
Well, not that I can remember, no. But
person, yeah, right. But, yeah.
Stacy, you're dropping in and out again.
Now is it better?
No.
Now is it better?
That's better.
It has improved.
Yeah,
okay.
Somewhat.
CNN's.
You're doing it again, Stacy. If you're moving around, you need to stand still. And you need. I have no idea what you're, saying. Stacy, because you're breaking up again.
Shall I just read Stacy's article?
Stacy, I'm going to pull a plug on you unless you get to where you're supposed to be.
Shall I? Technology.
Yep. I'm going to have to disconnect him.
Okay.
Anyway.
Shall I?
Go ahead.
Okay. Headline reads, CNN chief legal analyst masturbates during video chat with colleagues. Now, there's some problems with that headline in terms of antecedents and so on, but I think it's clear enough. Harvard Law alumnus Jeffrey Toobin, the New York The New Yorker has suspended reporter Jeffrey Toobin for masturbating on a Zoom video chat between members of The New Yorker and WNYC Radio last week. Toobin says he did not realize his video was on. I keep squeezing the bridge of my nose about that. Anyway, forward march. I made an embarrassingly stupid mistake believing I was off camera. I apologize to my wife, family, friends, and coworkers, Toobin told Motherboard. I believed I was not visible on Zoom. I thought no one on the Zoom call could see me. Really? Well, nonetheless, what are you thinking? I thought I had muted the Zoom video, he added. Two witnesses who were in the Zoom session both said that they saw Toobin jerking off. Oh, God. The two sources described a juncture in the election simulation when there was a strategy session and the Democrats and Republicans went into their respective breakout rooms for about 10 minutes. At this point, they said, it seemed like Toobin was on a second video call. The sources said that when the groups returned from their breakout rooms, Toobin lowered the camera. The people on the call said they could see Toobin touching his penis. Toobin then left the call. Moments later, he called back in, seemingly unaware of what his colleagues had been able to see, and the simulation continued. Shall I read Stacy's commentary on this, or shall I just?
Why that would anybody would think that that would be appropriate behavior? I mean, there's enough going on about people in their pajamas still, you know, at 12 noon in business meetings these days. But it says something about where the guy's real mental focus is.
Yeah. Well, one of the things about Zoom, I find it in some ways extremely good and in others extremely bad. But the big thing is that it shows anything, unless you have one of those background screens, it shows anything behind you. And your entire life is in many ways visible.
Bookcase that I sit in front of.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like I sit right in front of a window. Mm-hmm. And if I've got the camera focused properly, all you see is the window, a lamp, and my telephone table.
Right. Well, I hear Stacy in the background again. Are you trying to talk to us, Stacy?
Does it work?
It was
now
working better than you. Whatever you did is better.
Oh dear.
Now you're breaking up again.
Oh,
okay. Oh yes, we're losing Stacy.
Oh no.
Well, we've got you now.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he's popping. Okay. Yeah, he's popping in and out as whether he's connected or not, even on the status board here. Yeah.
Really?
So, I have no idea. Okay. Well, now you're okay, Stacy.
Okay. The quality of my signal is difficult to
determine. You're okay
now. I can't. Okay. Well, I'm glad to know that I'm okay now. Yes. The Zoom chat.
Yeah, we were just finishing that up, and I was going to say, and then Stacy had a bunch of posts about his travels through the Midwest and doing some real shoe leather reporting about what he was seeing. So why don't you talk to us about that for a few minutes, and then we'll get to our usual closer.
Okay. Well, we drove across northern Ohio and across northern Indiana to Berrien County, Michigan, And I can tell you that, you know, that the Biden signs are very few and far between in this part of the country. There's not much, there is not much visible support for Biden. And so, you know, that's, and I went down to the county headquarters. And so, yes, it has been a very interesting trip. We were counting Biden signs in northern Ohio, and it just was like, I think we saw one of those guys. Yes. And an Ohio sheriff has offered to pay the tickets, the airfare for any celebrities who want to leave the country if Trump wins.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that leads us then to other subjects that we might get to, including the people who are dangerous. Crazy people are dangerous, aren't they, Stacey?
Oh, yes. In Florida, which, of course, is a crucial swing state, I saw a video that was very scary of a man who stabbed a Hillsborough County sheriff's deputy in the neck. Nicholas Ferguson faces charges of attempted felony murder of a law enforcement officer. I'm listening to the
music.
It's way
in the background. Just keep going. Stacey, keep going.
Okay. All right. Well, anyways. Okay. So this fellow, this young man, 21 years old, and if you can see his face, you can see he's seriously disturbed. They were trying to get him to go on a Baker Act commitment, the Florida law that allows for involuntary commitment for 72 hours. And he ran away into a wooded area, and the sheriff's deputy tried to use de-escalation techniques to calm him down. And just as he was about to handcuff him, Ferguson reaches around with his left arm and stabs the deputy in the neck with a knife. He got tasered and everything, and the sheriff's deputy is going to be all right. But I just had to say, why didn't they shoot this guy? Okay, because I'm sure that you know, in terms of the Black Lives Matter narrative, right, is that the Black Lives Matter narrative is that this guy was a beneficiary of white privilege, that if he had been black, he would have been shot. And I'm saying that what we need is for cops to shoot more white people, okay? Just to even the score.
Well, there's some of us. Some of us might not appreciate that.
but see, this creates a built-in defense against, you know, any of the civil rights types, show up saying, hey, wait, you killed a black suspect, and said, yes, but we killed six white suspects last week, so we're cool, you see. And so I think that could probably – see, it's kind of a radical idea, crazy people are dangerous,
yes,
is the bottom line.
It certainly is. And you know what? We're about – 50 seconds away from the bottom line on tonight's podcast. So thanks, everybody, for joining us. We apologize for the technical difficulties, but that's life on the Internet these days. Diana, good to hear from you again.
All right. Always happy to call it.
Okay, and Stacey.
And we'll see you next Saturday.
Yeah, from an undisclosed location. Meanwhile, have fun, folks.
Bye.